Your eye, I'm like, oh Lord, what's he talking about? Chris did a wonderful job.
Yes.
Encouraged. That is our cue, man, for the new year. New adventures, new things, guys. This morning we're going to be over in the book of Hebrews this morning.
All right.
Some parts of the Bible are just self-explanatory. Really don't need nothing. This one talks about, it says, warning to pay attention. I don't know if some of you are like me at times, but I can get distracted.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes get distracted at the wrong time. Especially when somebody's trying to tell me something and I'm not paying attention. And some people get aggravated and say, are you listening to me? Are you listening? You're like, oh, what, huh, what? And some people are like, I can't believe it. I said all that. Now I got to say it again. And what they're mad about is like, I'm not going to be able to say it in the way that I said it the first time. They feel like it's not going to have the same oomph or the same power that it had when I was talking to you, because it was with such power and such conviction that I said it. But this talks about warning to pay attention, because sometimes we do get distracted.
Mm-hmm.
We do get distracted. Warning is defined as a statement or event that indicates a possible or impending danger, problem, or other unpleasant situations. And warnings are meant to help us, to keep us in the know, to keep us in the noun, the loop. Warnings are meant to say, hey, it's meant to caution you and I to be careful about something, mm-hmm. to get involved with something, or to not be a part of something, or as for little kids, don't touch that, that is hot, that is dangerous, or do not stick a knife in a socket, you would get hurt that way. Those are warning. Or wait till the light turns red and you get the signal for the thing that says you can now go. You know, those are warning. Sometimes we heed them, sometimes we don't heed them. But warnings are important. And once a warning gets kind of stuck in you, it sticks with you, you realize, I've been warned about that, and I know, hey, I need to pay attention to that and take notice of that. You know, when I think about warnings, like, seriously, we take them sometime, you know. We take some time, maybe there's a warning backfire on us because we took it too seriously, or we didn't allow for any room to improvise, you know, to work around that warning or work with that warning or somehow to make it work. Think of something that I was reading, and I was talking about a couple named Joe and Martha. That's what they named, Joe and Martha. And so Joe and Martha would go to the fair every year. And at the fair, they would have this airplane ride, old-fashioned airplane ride with the two wings, and the pilot sits up front, and the people were sitting in the back. And so they would go every year, and Joe always say, I want to ride that airplane. And Martha was like, you know, understand now, we're on a budget now, you know, and you got to understand now, what are we going to spend? That's it, you know. And Joe's like, I want to go. And she said, okay, Joe, look, that's $10. And $10 is $10. There ain't no negotiating or nothing. It's $10. It's just $10, Joe. So Joe will hold his head down and say, okay, I understand. If I spend this $10, we won't have enough money to do the other things that we like to do. So every year they would go, year after year, it's the same old, same old. So finally here Joe is, he's 71 years old, and they come back and at this fair, and so Joe looks at Martha. He says, Martha, I really want to ride this plane. And she says, Joe, $10 is $10, okay? You got to understand that. He says, Martha, if I don't ride it this year, I'm 71. I may not ever get another chance to ride this airplane. She says, okay, Joe, I'm telling you, $10. So while they're talking, the pilot overhears them. And the pilot says, hey, I couldn't help but overhear your conversation. He says, so I tell you what, I take you both up and ride you an airplane. And he said, on one condition, you cannot make a sound. He says, if you are able not to make one sound, by the time we go up and come back down, he says, the plane ride is free. But if you make a sound, he says, you have to pay $10. So Joe and Martha didn't talk about it. Okay, that's no problem. Yeah, we'll do it. We'll do it. So they go up in the plane, pilot hops in front, he hops in the back, and the pilot's flying, and he's doing all his tricks and banks and loops, and he's like, man, I'm not hearing no yells or nothing. Wow, I'm not hearing nothing at all. And so the pilot, so he goes again, do the same thing again, all his loops and banks and everything. And so finally he comes down and he lands, and after he lands, he's turning the engine off, he leans back, he says, I'm just surprised. I did all my best tricks and you didn't make a sound. And Joe, he held his head up and looked forward. He said, well, I started to say something when Martha fell out, but then I realized $10 is $10. Joe heated that warning his whole life. He did $10 and $10 off. You know, warnings are meant to be put for a reason. In Hebrews, it talks about warning us to pay close attention. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. It says, we must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard so that we do not drift. I want to stop that. First point about, it's important to remember. Mm-hmm. You have to remember the things that God has warned us about. Mm-hmm. The things that God is telling us through his words, through his scriptures, through the messages that you've heard from various preachers, from various friends, from deacons, from elders, from Bible talk leaders, zone leaders, from family members. You have to remember the message because it will say. It says it's important to remember things that you consider important to you. Believe it or not, takes a priority in your life. Is God important to you? That's the question for your life. Is God important to you? Is his word, is his way of living for your life important to you? You know, but what happens when you don't stay close to God? His word, his way of living for your life. What happens? You drift. You tend to drift. You tend to become disconnected. There's a distance that starts to happen. You drift. You drift away, becoming disconnected. You forget that relationship. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for a lot of people, sometimes their relationships have just never been close at all. You know? But drifting away from God is dangerous for your soul. Look with me over in Luke, the Gospel of Luke. You say, well, what does drifting look like? What does it look like to drift away from God? Luke chapter 12. What does it look like to drift away? Luke chapter 12, verse 16. What does it look like to drift away from God? Verse 16 says, and he told them this parable. He says, the ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Let's just take life easy. Let's eat, let's drink, and let's just be happy. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? Mm-hmm. This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God. You know, when you drift, you forget about God. When you get caught up in all the things in the world, or caught up in all your success and all the material things, you drift and forget about God. This tells about a man who was blessed. It said what he invested his time into, it yielded an abundant crop. That means he's like, man, it yielded so much. Let's put it in our terms. He had to open up more bank accounts. He said, look here, my bank can't hold this. I got to open up some more accounts. I got to store some in some other places. He says, wow, life is going to be good for many years to come. Look at what I've done. Man, it's good. Yes. And God calls him out. God said, you know what? You fool. He's just so dumb. You put so much hope and faith into your own script and the things that you've done. But your very life is demanded of you. Now what? Who's going to get everything that you like, that you boast about? Who's going to get all your riches? Who's going to get all your bank accounts? Who's going to get all your material things that you boast and put so much hope into? Who really gets it? You know, we think that way sometimes. We do. Sometimes we get distracted and we think, man, look at what I've done. What I've done, look at what it's yielded. Look at what it has produced. Huh. Life is great because of what I've done and what it has produced. I just can take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry. Nope, I ain't going to do nothing for nobody.
Nope,
I'm not going to help nobody in the community. Nope, I ain't going to impart a blessing to nobody. Nope, I ain't going to do this. I'm just going to eat, drink, and be merry as if nothing comes to an end. I'm just going to focus on me. That's what I'm going to do. God warns us, God said, you need to pay close attention to the message. You see, God doesn't have an issue if you become a billionaire. If you become more richer than Warren Buffett, more richer than Bill Gates. God doesn't have an issue with that. He doesn't. God doesn't have an issue if you open up multiple bank accounts and you've got funds everywhere. God doesn't have an issue with that. God doesn't have an issue if you eat, drink, and be merry and be happy. He said, wait a minute, Sidney, what do you mean? He doesn't. The issue God has is when God's not at the head of your plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When the message that God is trying to reach the world with is not at the head of your plan. When everything that you want to do, everything that you have accumulated, everything that you believe is dear to you, when you're like, it's just me, 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 my minds. And I'm going to just live life, whatever, and I don't care what anybody thinks about it, especially God. God said, we have an issue now. God said, you forget your mentality. You forget that your time is limited here. You forget I put you here for a reason. When you drift, you will think like this guy. When you drift away from the message of God, when you drift away from God in prayer, when you drift away from God from meeting with the body, when you drift away from God from living out the gospel, you'll look like this guy. Mm-hmm. For some reason, you'll think, hey, life is good. Nothing can't touch me. I can't be harmed. But God is always quick to remind us of our mortality. You see, a couple of things here. Do not allow yourself to drift away, number one.
Mm-hmm.
Do not allow yourself to drift away. Do not allow yourself to be fooled by your youth. You will get old, and your body will tell you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if you look like super cut grandpa at 60. Your body will still remind you, okay? I hear you. You got good condition, brother, but you still old. No matter how cut your sister, you still old. No matter how cut and good you look, you still old. You still aging. You may be able to do a little things a little better, but not as fast as you used to. Still cut. Do not allow yourself to be fooled by money as if money is the answer to all things.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. Money has always been what it's going to continue to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a resource. That's mm-hmm. it. And you and I both know where money comes from. Trees. Wood.
Mm-hmm.
And last time I heard, God was creator of all that. A tree comes from dirt. Ain't that amazing? The things that we that money that we buy comes from dirt. Thank God for giving man the wisdom to show them how to convert currency out of dirt. Even if you say, well, no, what about coins and gold? Well, they come out of rocks, stones, caves, underground stuff. Amazing. Do not allow yourself to be fooled by material things. Things, you know, they get holes in them. They get old. They get worn out. You know, that's where we buy new clothes. That's why we go shopping. They get worn out over time. They're like us. They all have an expiration date. Do not allow yourself to be fooled by the flesh. Yes, I wish that bodies didn't have, who knows, moles, pimples, zits, potholes, whatever you want to call them. There's even parts of our body we think like, how did that get there? I don't remember that being there. But the flesh, it wears out too. Do not allow yourself to be fooled by misplaced pride.
Mm-hmm.
Pride is so dangerous. We can get prideful and just think like, man, I'm invincible. We can get prideful and think, why, this would never happen. Can't be. I was looking at the news, and there's the governor of Kentucky. You know, you think like, man, this governor has a lot of power. And they say, really, Kentucky is one of the states that has it. So he pardoned several people. And, of course, there the news, and some people have issues with it. As far as I know, it's just the news right now, but he pardoned several people. And they were saying, like, this is just too much power for, like, one man to have as a governor because nobody can go back and appeal it or do anything with it. All he has to do is, if he wants to appeal you, if you're in prison and you write a letter and he thinks that you're worthy of being pardoned, all he has to do is write a reason why he's going to pardon you, and you're pardoning you out. I remember the lady saying, this is just too much power for one person. But then I look at it from both sides. So if you're against somebody getting out, and you're in the position or the seat of power, you know, it's just the coins on the other side. You know? And I looked at it thinking, like, the pride is so misplaced, because they're like, I don't care. You shouldn't let him out. You know, he was a drunk driver. He killed somebody. And he told the governor if he got out, he was going to visit schools and do like, you know, a lot of people do. They just go around traveling and speaking about their experience and how it has affected them and the victims' lives. And so, but a lot of people didn't like that. Mm. You know, there's pride everywhere. Mm. There's some people, if they were governor, they wouldn't pardon nobody. It's just where their heart's at. But there's some people who are governor and they're like, I think they deserve a second chance. Misplaced pride. Do not allow yourself to be fooled by it. You know, in order to remember God's message and what God is saying to you, you're going to have to stay close. And you're going to have to stay connected to God. If not, you will drift away. Going on Hebrews. Down further in Hebrews. Stick to the message. Let me get there. Hebrews. Picking up verse 2, it says, for since the message spoken through angels were binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how should we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? It says, the salvation which was first announced by the Lord was confirmed to us by those who heard it. Second point is the importance of salvation. I love this. He says, let me give you a little history. He says, so in past times, he says, the message was spoken through angels, and those messages, they were binding. And he says that, and every violation and disobedience received their just punishment. So I love it. We have freedom in Christ. We have freedom to do what we want to do. But there are consequences on both sides, okay? If you live by the warning and heed to the warning, you won't get hurt. Guess what? If I don't take a knife and stick it in the socket, I won't get shot, will I?
Nope.
That's right. If I don't touch a hot stove, I won't get burned, will I?
Nope.
That's right. But if I decide to go on the other side of the coin, well, I know you say it's hot, but I'm going to still try and touch the sea. I'm going to get burned. Mm-hmm. I know you say I get shot, but I ain't seen nobody else try it, so I'm going to try to stick a knife in and see if I get shot. There's consequences on both sides. You are making a decision to say, which side of the warning am I going to be on? Am I going to be against it and rebel and be disobedient to the word of God? Or am I going to be on the side of God's word and say, amen, I'm going to heed that warning and I'm going to stay close to God and I'm going to listen to the message that God is delivering. And God says, how shall we escape if we ignore a great salvation? He says, what is your plan or your ex plan to be rescued if you're going to ignore the salvation that God is offering you? You ever thought about that? Somebody say, look, I'm going to give you a way out. You can take this way out. But you choose to ignore it. So what's your plan? What's your plan? And sometimes we're like that. We're like, well, I want to do it my way. I don't want to do it that way. You know, I think about sometimes it's hard for us to comply. I look at my grandson, and so, you know, he, that little boy is something else, but when sometimes he's got something, I say, bring it here. Because like Sharice will say something to him, or Candace will say something to him. He'd be like, you know, they doing, you know how babies do. They do a thing like, I don't hear you, I don't hear you. And so I just drop my voice a couple of octaves and say, hey, bring it here. And this is what he'll do. He'll be over there, he'll look at me, and I'll look at him, he'll go. he's like, but he's walking like, he's just that, like, I don't want to do it, but I'm going to do it, but I don't want to do it. We're like that. There's just something like, I really don't want to do it. But I know it's the right thing to do, but I really don't want to do it. And we're just like my grandpa, other baby. We may not show it, but internally we're like, we're pounding orange for, okay, I'm going to come. I'm going to comply. I really don't want to do it. That's how we are. Mm-hmm. But God is saying, what other exit plan of salvation do you have that is greater than the one that I am offering? We have to think that way. We have to think outside of us like then. First of all, I'm so glad that God allows me to think that way. God allows me to look and say, hey, you look and see if you can find any other form of salvation that is greater than the salvation that I'm offering you. God said, look, I give you that freedom. Look, search the earth far and near, high and low. See, can you find anything else that would offer you this type of salvation? You can't, you know, I think about the movie Castaway. And we, I don't know if everybody's seen that movie Castaway, Tom Hanks. So he gets stranded on this island. He's stranded on there for a long time. So far that we would say, hey, there's some mental health things going on because he befriends a volleyball. And Wilson becomes his best friend. You're like, no, it's me and Wilson, man. It's just die hard. But Wilson only goes so far because eventually he yearns to be saved. And so he starts to realize, I got to fight to get back where salvation is at for me. I miss society. I miss people. I need to get back there. He realized if I want that salvation, I got to fight for it.
Mm-hmm.
I got to come with a plan with the best thing I know. I got to work with what I have around me. What is God giving me here? What are the tools I have? Okay, I got some boom and bamboo tree sticks. I got some vines. And I got this aluminum thing that came off the plane. That's going to be my sail. That's it. And I got Wilson. I got some coconuts. I'm going to fight to get the salvation. That's what he did. He fought. He overcame his fears and he went after it. Salvation to him was getting back to society, getting back to his loved ones. He yearned to be alone no more. Man, do you know when you have had a taste of something good, you tend to want more? When you have visited a place that makes you like, wow, this place was magnificent, I'm going back, you tend to go back. You know, God's salvation is actually God's rescue plan for you and I. The question is, will you fight to go after it? Will you fight to grab hold of God's plan of salvation for you and I? God said, I got this great rescue plan to rescue you. Is it important enough to you to fight for it?
Come on.
The message that God preached is a message of truth. And he wants you and I to know it because it leads to salvation. Verse 4. It says, God also testified to it by signs, wonders, various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. Final point. It's important to pay attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just important to pay attention. You know, bad habits that we must stop is brushing things off.
Mm-hmm.
I found out that if you don't want to hear something or you don't want to hear somebody, you're going to brush them off. That's just how we are. I hear you. No, you don't. You don't hear me. You're just saying that, hoping that I go away. Bad habits we must stop is ignoring the message. Yeah, man, I know the Bible. I know the Bible. You know, grandma got one sitting on the table. So-and-so go to church. You know, my uncle's a minister. Man, you got to stop ignoring the message.
Yep.
Bad habits we must stop is running away from the Bible. You just got to stop running away from God, running away from the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Bad habits we must stop is thinking, I always have tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
The man who built this barn, improved his financial wealth. He said about his spiritual health, which is his financial wealth.
Mm-hmm.
Thought he had all the time in the world, and the Lord said, you fool. Your life is expected of you right now. Well, there's a lot of bad habits we need to stop if we're going to pay attention to the warnings that God has given us. And those warnings are clear. Good habits we need to form and gravitate to is, number one, we need to embrace humility.
Mm-hmm.
You can't pay attention to nobody if you're not going to be humble.
Mm-hmm.
You can't listen to nobody if you're not going to be humble. You will never hear the word of God if you're not going to be humble.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
I'm telling you right now, you have to embrace humility. Number two, being open to hearing the truth. Whether it hurts or feel good, you need to always say, I need to be open to hearing what is true. Because what is true can only help me. It will never harm me.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, you need to make time for God's messengers. They come in many different forms, many different shapes. You need to make time for God's messengers. Number four, you not only need to read your Bible, but you need to study it.
Mm-hmm.
These are good habits to form.
Mm-hmm.
you need to read and study. Most of us know the scriptures over in Acts 17:10. Because I think about, you know, they have this form of reading, studying the Bible. It talks about how the Bereans were of more noble character. I wonder what God says about us. What does God say? Does God say I'm noble? Oh no. Does God say I'm all knowing? Does God say I'm that scholar? You know? Does God say I'm charismatic? Yeah, what does God say about me when it comes to our relationship and me following His word? What does God say about me? Well, we know what God said about the Bereans. He said, man, they were more noble. You know, I think when you pay attention, you can have some of the characteristics of the Berean. Because they were more noble, they examined God's word daily.
Mm-hmm.
Spent time in the word. Mm-hmm. They, God said this is what defines their noble character. They spend time in God's word every day. I don't know if you pick up and read one scripture, or you say, I'm going to sit down and read a passage. They spent time in God's word, they examined. Say they received it. They received it. You know, there's a lot of things we can say no to. We can say yes or no. But it says they received it. When it came to God, we said that they received it. Received His word. They were open to what His word was saying. They were open to the message that was being put before them. They were open to hearing what God said. It also said that they were eager, had great urgency. I am eager to hear what God has to say. I'm eager to hear what God has to say through this brother or through this sister. I am eager to hear what God is doing or what He is going to do. And because they paid attention, man, wow, take one on to do great things. There's nothing like having somebody light a fire up under you. When somebody lights a fire up under you, man, you on fire, you're like, oh, let me go share with somebody else. Let me go pump somebody else up. Let me go share the good news. Okay, let me just talk to a sister, get her fired up, a brother. They need to be fired up. Because I'm fired up. Why am I fired up? Because that guy was fired up. Or that sister was fired up. It's important to pay attention. It's important to pay attention. So what is your game plan going forward? Think about that. The year is closing out. We've done a lot of things. We've seen a lot of things. We've all together gone through health issues, whether it was personally happening to you or to someone you love. Oh man, we've had many visitors in here, a lot of people, and you've gone back and talked to them, some of them, they're still trying to figure it out, you know, whatever, but man, God gave you an opportunity to plant a seed, a seed of hope in them. What is your game plan going forward? Another year, I was thinking, wow. Man, I'm closing that chapter 49 in my book of life. You have to look at life like that.
Mm-hmm.
What chapter are you in the book of life? I just closed that chapter 49. Man, if I can go back and write a story about my life in detail. 49, I'm like, ooh, this chapter was rough. You know, if anybody read this chapter, like, you need to read chapter 49. The doctor's like, man, it really picked up there. A lot of things were going on, you know. Ooh, buddy. I thought they were going to kill him off in that book. I thought we were done in that chapter. You know, just wow. Our life is nothing but a book, as God said, a book of life. If we think about it, man, God opens up this big book of life and like, let's see what it was like, but it's your personal book. It reflects your life and your living. This chapter is closing. The next chapter is starting. And it's amazing when you look at the book of life. You not only have your personal book of life that defines when your birthday comes and goes, but we have a book of life that we also live according to when each year closes and goes.
Yep.
Now, I don't know if God's going to lay it out like that, but you know, if I can have a conversation, God, which book looks better on me? Is it my birthday book or is it the book of every year? You know, I want to go with the one that gives me better credibility, you know? But God is warning us. He says, pay attention. Don't drift. Don't drift. I don't care. Don't let people fool you, pull you, mislead you. Don't let the world do that to you too. God says, just pay attention to the message. Because the message will never lead you wrong. The message will never steer you in the wrong direction. God says, stay close to me by staying close to my word, which is the Bible that I've given you. God says, stay close to me by staying close to me in prayer. God says, stay close to me by allowing the Holy Spirit to guide you and always reflecting on the sacrifice that Christ made for you. He says, never forget, salvation is important, especially the salvation that I offer. Now, if you think there's another way greater than mine, God says he's open. God said, but I just don't think you're going to find any other great salvation out there.
That's right.
God says, my salvation is the hope of all mankind. And God says, pay attention. Because God says, I'm always giving you warnings.
Yep.
He says, through signs, through wonders, through various miracles, he says, even through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, God says, I'm always giving signs, wonders. He says, my message is coming through so many different ways. He says, and if you're paying attention, you will see it and you will hear it. What is your game plan going forward? How will you live life going forward? Will you heed the warning signs? Will you pay attention to God? Will God's word ring out through your life for the rest of your days going forward? Be grateful. Be grateful that we have a loving God. Be grateful we have a God who cares. Be grateful and know that God loves you enough to warn you about the things that can cost you your salvation. Amen?
Amen.
And thank you guys so much.